It used to be so crazy. And back when I was young, I used to feel like I'm embarrassed that my last name is Martinez and I'm this complexion. So it was really crazy for me.
Oakland's a very interesting place. From the moment I lived here, there's always been an undercurrent of this city would be better if we could get rid of black people, and even among some black people, certain types of black people.
Just two English language clips from Nana Diho, the documentary produced by multimedia artist Boca Floja. The 37-minute film splices clips from numerous testimonials on the effects of racism against black and brown people in the United States and Mexico, as well as Central and South America. Now, this woman is sharing the first time she experienced racism. She's saying it happened in junior high when she tried to hang out with the Mexican girls, who said she was too black. When she then tried to hang out with the black girls, they said because she spoke Spanish, she was too Mexican.
Too black for the Mexicans and too Mexicans for the blacks.
Behind a continuous pulsating beat, Nana Diho documents men and women of various ages, ethnicities, and occupations. Boca Floja said he intentionally obscured the occupations of his subjects and also intentionally placed his subjects in settings that often made it difficult to discern the country in which they were filming.
In a way, we were trying to balance the narratives in a way that by placing the occupation in the background of certain people, automatically people will be, the audience will give more credit to certain narratives than others, just because they're apparently more familiar with certain topics. So in a way, we were trying to let the audience in the body of the oppressed in general express itself in ways that were not necessarily attached to geopolitical borders or to, you know, academic backgrounds and so on. So that was one thing. And also in terms of the just the countries in specific, the discussion of Latinidad, I think we wanted to push it further down beyond those constructions that are very, very into national Latino identity and nationalism. So we were just trying to stay away from that and just push the discussion deeper by doing that.
Well, it was interesting that, unless I misunderstood, you also included some people who, how would I say this, didn't exactly have forward-thinking concepts of black and brown people. And some of these people, at least in the U.S., would be the target of stereotypes themselves. As you screen this movie, are you finding that maybe especially Americans are surprised to learn that people in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Argentina, they all have their own issues with black and brown people?
Yeah, that's definitely, it's been really powerful just to kind of understand the different reactions and the different analyses and the different discussions that come like to the surface in different regions. In the context of the U.S. in general, sometimes we are facing lack of understanding of the black experience beyond the borders of continental U.S. And in the context of Latin America, there's a huge process of denial based on the fact that Latino identity in general is deeply connected to anti-indigeneity and anti-blackness. So, you know, it's coloniality and those oppressive understandings of race and identity express in different forms in different places. But at the end of the day, the documentary is trying to, open up a dialogue in which all those differences can merge and find very similar origins.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton, joined by Boca Floja via Skype from his home in the Bronx. His documentary, Nana Diho, is an exploration of racism felt by black and brown people across North and South America. Can you give me some insight, some context here on, in America, maybe I'm fooling myself, we seem to be thinking that we're finally maybe trying to deal with racism in this country. Are you finding that these other countries in, say, Mexico and Latin America, maybe even South America, are they doing the same thing, or is it a little more subtle than that?
I think, I guess one of the main conflicts that I find is the fact that racism could not be, like understanding racism could not be limited to the borders of discrimination. And we have to understand racism as a structural problem that is deeply connected with systemic structures. So in the case of a specific case of Mexico or some places in Latin America, it's a discussion that happens to be very, very new because it challenges the national constructions of identity. So recently, let's say 10, 15 years, it's been several initiatives that are opening these dialogues and are creating political institutions coming from grassroots movements and autonomous initiatives that in a way are start negotiating with certain at the institutional level, kind of like creating a political force. But it's still very, very new. Just to give you an example, Mexican government didn't recognize the existence on paper of people of African descent born in Mexico until 2001. So it's something that is very, very new and very, very problematic.
Does that mean on government forms that you couldn't check African or Black? Is that what you mean by that?
Exactly. By the census, it was not there was not a space for people to identify as such. So it's slowly shifting, changing. The dialogue is still very new, but it's a work in progress.
Well, that was one of the things I found a little surprising watching this, is how government and corporate structures in these countries outside of America have some of the same issues that we have here in America, issues of cultural appropriation, embedded racism, yeah. It was hinted at a liberal paternalistic attitude at times.
Yeah, no, it happens. And the thing is that reality is that the power structure in places like Latin America, it is definitely connected to forms of whiteness. And a lot of people understand, for example, Mexican identity as a racial construction, when in reality it is not. Like, majority of resources and wealth are historically administered and managed by white Mexicans, right? So there's a conflict, a very obvious conflict that no one really feels comfortable discussing or talking about. So it is very similar in that extent.
And that was addressed in the film as well, at least a little bit. The concept of white Latino power structure.
Yeah.
How does, say, white European power structure in the United States and maybe Europe differ at all from a white Latino power structure?
It is a very interesting question because I believe that, at least in the particular case of Latin America, whiteness is more, at least feels more belligerent in a way that there are very few political structures that will constantly challenge it. As in the U.S., there are like historical political organizations that are clearly racialized, and there's a whole movement of black and brown entities at a political level that are like constantly challenging and organizing, and there's certain discussions that don't have room in the context of the U.S. And in the case of Latin America, there's open room for being belligerent and being even like with some sort of like monarchic type of attitude, in a way, just to put it in that context. So it operates very similar, but it feels slightly different in the context of Latin America.
Okay, all right. Well, you're making a statement, obviously, with this film, not unlike the music you make. After you'd shot all the footage and you're watching and listening to it back, before you produced it, was there things that you captured that surprised you even in some way?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that happened because The doc. First of all, I have to say that I'm a quote unquote Mexican citizen that is of African and indigenous descent. So in a way, it was very self-referential. All the conversations were revealing parts of my life that historically have been quite difficult to digest. So I was learning about myself, learning about the history of my own community while shooting the documentary, and also assuming the social responsibility of opening up this type of dialogues. So I was constantly listening to things that I was like absolutely shocked, because people in communities in Uruguay going through very similar experiences than myself in Mexico or like some other people in the United States. So it was quite shocking, and it was like a learning experience through the process that I guess like was very, very organic in terms of the actual production. We had like tons of footage that at the end of the day we couldn't use, because it's the discussion is so large and it's huge. But at the end of the day, we were just trying to, produce a documentary that was bringing a narrative that was, in a way, in opposition to most of the documentaries that I've seen about those topics that were quite focused more on the cultural aspect, but not really discussing the political historical facts that are very, very important when talking about race.
Absolutely.